You're listening to WIT Vikings, a sport at WIT podcast. Hello, I'm Tom Grinsell, and you are very welcome to our 17th episode of this podcast. On today's episode, we will speak to Mark Scanlon, Michelle O'Neill and Paul Dunton from our Women's Soccer Colleges Association of Ireland, or WSCEI as it's known, and the WIT Women's Soccer into Varsities launch, which was held in WIT Arena on the 4th of December. So it's a really exciting year for women's soccer in Waterford, as our WIT Vikings Soccer Club will host the Women's InterVarsities, which is sponsored by Rustlers, on the 24th and 25th of March in 2020. It's great to be involved in such a prestigious competition, especially when WIT have just become proud members of the 20 by 20 campaign for third level colleges. So just back to the launch, we held the launch on the evening of the 4th of December in Whit Arena, and there was a great buzz around the place. There was a brilliant crowd there as well, and we had members of the WSCEI committee, the FAI. We had a member from Rustlers, the sponsors of the competition, and we also had a number of girls present from different colleges. So there was representatives there from various colleges too. We also had a really special guest on the night, which was Michelle O'Neill, but we'll catch up with Michelle there shortly. But first up, Mark Scanlon from the FAI, who was our MC on the night and does remarkable work for third level football in Ireland, was at the event. And Sean Gagan went out and caught up with Mark in WIT Arena to find out more about his role and the competition itself.
Okay, I'm here with Mark Scanlon, the National Coordinator for Schools and Third Level Football in Ireland. Just going to talk about the InterVarsity launch last night and the upcoming tournament in March for the women's soccer. Mark, just going to start off by giving a brief explanation about your role within the FAI.
Yeah, thanks very much, Sean. My role, as you mentioned, is National Coordinator for Schools and Third Level Football. So basically we look after all the competitions, programmes and initiatives that we're doing from primary schools level right the way through up until the third level football as well. So there's the department is basically three of us. There's myself and Diane Fay, who's the FAI Schools National Administrative Officer, and then Dylan Maguire, who's our schools and third level football administrator. So three of us basically in the department. We've got obviously a lot of help from our development officers around the country in rolling out and running our schools programme, and then we take a more hands-on approach to running the schools and third level national competitions as well then. So obviously with the help of our affiliates who organise them competitions, we try roll out as much as we can across the country to increase participation levels and to try improve the level of competition that's available out there for all the students coming through the system.
Okay, so obviously we're here today in the WIT Arena and you have the school futsal finals on, is that correct? And how many tournaments throughout the year would you have within the third level in schools?
Yeah, so in the schools futsal, as you said, it's the national finals today. So this competition has been growing over the last number of years, and we now have over 20,000 students across the country playing futsal throughout primary and post-primary schools. So it's fantastic to have it here in WIT Arena, as we've had for the last 4 years, and the facility is top class, and the futsal facilities are second to none. So it's great to be here for that. And then apart from them competitions, as a national futsal competition, we then have six national primary school competitions, three for boys and three for girls, and small, medium and large schools. That's the SPAR FAI Primary School Fives program. We then have 16 national competitions at post-primary level, eight for boys and eight for girls across four different age groups, and then again split into both small and large schools. And then at third level we have 26 different competitions, so that's across men's and women's football and futsal. So it's a huge array of competitions that we're providing across the country, which is providing football for in excess of 80,000 students that are involved from primary school right the way through to third level at the minute. And we've recently just introduced a recreational football program, which obviously WIT are involved in as well, where we're providing football on campus with the help of the sports department and student activators who are on scholarships with us, rolling out the programs throughout the country. So it's given more and more students an opportunity to play the five-a-side format of the game on campus in an environment that maybe suits their academic commitments, their work commitments, and trying to get them fit and healthy and exercising them back into the sport as well. So yeah, covers a wide variety of stuff right now.
Okay, so we had the launch for the Women's InterVarsities last night, which is being held here in the WIT Arena on March 24th and 25th. What's the format and what can people expect from that?
Yeah, so the WSCI Intervarsities competition is sponsored by Rustlers, and that competition has been running since the 1970s. It's a very prestigious competition. It's the Premier Cup competition for women's colleges football. The holders at the minute are UCC, who won a Trillium final last year against Maynooth up in Ulster University in Jordanstown. So it's a Premier competition. That competition is obviously, as you mentioned, going to be played here this year in WIT Arena. We're delighted to be back here after 4 years ago we hosted a competition, and even since then the improvement in facilities down here on campus has made it our first choice for coming back for the competition this year. So the competition itself is split into three separate cups. So the Kelly Cup, which is the main Premier competition, then there's the Leiden Cup, which is a subsidiary competition for teams that get knocked out at the quarter final stage of the Kelly Cup, and then there's the O'Regan Cup, which is for teams who are knocked out in the early rounds of the Kelly Cup, and those colleges and universities that have B teams as well. So what we'll have on 24th and 25th of March will be three sets of semi-finals, six games taking place on campus that day, and then the following day we will have three third and fourth place playoffs, and then three finals themselves, with the Kelly Cup final taking place in the RSC on March 25th. So the cream of the crop in women's colleges football will be here over them couple of days. We hope to have some of our high profile players playing that are currently in college. So we've a couple of senior internationals who are obviously taking part in Vera Powell's current European Championship qualifying campaign as well, and we'd hope to have them players maybe playing here over a couple of days as well in the competition with their various colleges and universities. So the standard is really high, and it's improving year on year. There's lots and lots of players who are playing in the Women's National League, and players who've played underage international setup as well. So it's improving every year, and we're delighted to see the standard continuing to improve, and the competition itself is certainly one that we're very much looking forward to, and hopefully get some top class action down here in Waterford in March.
Okay. So obviously it's a big year for women's sport with the 20 by 20 initiative. What did tournaments like these do for the development of women's sport?
Yeah, the 20 by 20 initiative is something that's really taken off, which is great to see, because it's risen the profile of women's sport in general. But we'd like to think, certainly in schools and third level football, that the opportunities that we've given over the last few years, is we've been pushing that even before that campaign began. So it's great to have the support of the campaign to continue to improve that, and giving more and more rise to what's happening will certainly encourage girls who are playing, like today, girls who are playing in school in the school's futsal tournament will see the opportunities that are coming through third level football, and will give them something to aim for, and scholarships that their colleges are providing, top class facilities as well. Like the last two seasons now, we've live streamed the main final, the Women's League final, and the Intervarsities final as well. So again, we're bringing that to a new audience by putting it out there on social media platforms, and streaming that game through YouTube and through Facebook. And then again, we have a highlights package, which last year was on Air Sport, NVTV in Northern Ireland as well, and we hope to bring that even to further channels again this year. So that's, you know, putting the game out there to a wider audience and showing people the standard that's out there in third level football, and also just the different competitions and what takes place that maybe people who haven't been involved in third level football before mightn't be aware of. So the campaign is certainly helping to do that as well. And we had Michelle O'Neill obviously as our guest speaker here last night as well, which is great to have. And what Michelle has done over the summer months with her high profile appointments to big games has given another rise for women's sport in the country as well. And we'd be delighted to have Michelle hopefully back here with us as well on the 24th and 25th of March for them games. So all the time we're continuing to try improve them standards and try improve the opportunities that are out there available for women in third level football.
Okay. And finally, what are your future goals for women's football within schools and third level?
Yeah, we hope to obviously continue to grow participation levels first and foremost. We still think there's huge scope and lots of opportunities to grow that, and the recreational football will certainly be the first step in encouraging more and more women's players at third level football to get involved. And then hopefully from there that will lead to more players joining teams and growing the 11-side game. So we want to continue to increase the professionalism of our women's league competitions and cup competitions. We'd like to continue to see increased links between our third level institutions and our national league clubs, both men's and women's, but particularly again on the women's side, there's huge scope as the league is continuing to develop the women's national league, that we see more and more colleges and universities getting involved with the national league clubs and see a synergy there between the scholarship system that will happen at the colleges and the players progressing through, not only improving their football education but also their academic education as well. So that's certainly another goal of ours. And then the next one would be to continue to improve improve the international setup that we have for women's football at third level. So currently, as most people will know, the UEFA age groups in women's football are under 17s, under 19s, and then it goes straight to senior football. So there isn't an under 21s team in Europe, under 21s competition, as there is in men's football. So in order to bridge that gap, we certainly see that the schools and third level route is an excellent way for the players to be able to continue to bridge that gap, so when they finish at 19s football, that they are going to college, that they are improving their education, and then that we have an international setup out there and available for them. This year, for example, with Student Sport Ireland, we attended the World University Games, and we heavily supported that team going with coaching staff and funding and helping with obviously all the facilities and gear and everything else that could be involved. And the team done remarkably well, finishing basically 20 minutes away from winning the first ever medal for an Irish team at the World University Games football competition. So they were very unlucky to just miss out on that bronze medal and losing in a penalty shootout in the final game. So that's a goal of ours when football is reintroduced into the World University Games in 2023, that we can continue to push on and hopefully see Ireland being recognised as number one in the world would be our aim, that we can see that our best players aren't just putting all their eggs in one basket for professional football, but are continuing on the academic side as well, and recognition of that will be seen if we can eventually medal at the World University Games, hopefully.
Thanks, Mark. We're looking forward to the tournament in March, and see you then.
Thanks very much.
So that was Sean there speaking to Mark, who alongside Dylan Maguire does fantastic work for colleges and schools around Ireland promoting football, and these guys are just fanatics and really doing a great job in promoting football for young men and women around Ireland. So we're just going to move on there to our special guest. So we had the very admirable Michelle O'Neill visit us in WIT Arena on the launch night. Michelle is the first woman in Ireland to possess a World Cup medal, which is unbelievable. She has refereed on the national and international stage, but became the first Irish referee to be an officiate of the FIFA Women's World Cup finals last summer. Michelle is also a graduate of WIT. She graduated back in 2001 and also won a women's intervarsities medal with WIT in 1999. So Lizzie, who was also a student at that time, sorry for giving away your age there, Lizzie, caught up with Michelle after the launch in WIT Arena last night.
Michelle, we're delighted to welcome you back to WIT, past student, just over 20 years nearly, or just under 20 years maybe, but you've had a remarkable year. You might tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah, so it's great to be back. Yeah, started off, I suppose, the biggest one of the summer is the World Cup final in France. And yeah, it was just epic to be involved in the whole lot. And then that led on to the UEFA Super Cup and then National Leagues and Cup Finals and Unite the Union Champions Cup. So in all 5 months, so yeah, what a year.
So I suppose, what a year, but as in a long time in coming, a long time preparing for it, not something that just happens overnight.
Yeah, so this campaign started 4 years ago for the World Cup. Came back from Canada 2015 and got as far as the quarterfinals. But I wasn't satisfied. I wanted to go all the way to the final. So so this has been preparing extra training and everything for the last 4 years and trying to get on that list and go all the way in the World Cup. And we did it this year, so yeah, thrilled.
It's fantastic. You mentioned to me earlier, I just thought it was fascinating. Obviously, I was very lucky to play with Michelle back in the day, so we had some great years back in Adamstown over the years. But, you know, you mentioned as a player, it was always maybe a drive to play international, and without question, had loads of ability and plenty of potential to do that as well. But your route to international came through refereeing, as in, you might tell us a little bit how you feel about that, I suppose.
Yeah, so, yeah, as a player, you always want to play for your country, and it just never got the opportunities or whatever, but little did I know, as a referee then, I went on to represent Ireland, and to be honest, it's the same kind of feeling, because putting on that jersey and going out with the FIFA badge and representing your country every single time you're out on tournaments, it's still the same, because you're still part of a team, a team of referees and officials. And to say to represent Ireland, and this year was so important to me, because I got so much support from home. that I never even dreamed about. And people were watching the World Cup and saying, oh, there's an Irish girl in that. And it was so nice to see, and so nice messages. And then I really, really felt that, yeah, I'm really representing my country here. And it's an extra special feeling.
And when you were playing, did you ever think you'd go down the refereeing route?
Yes and no. I mean, I know, like, when I was a player, I was always frustrated with the referees. And I think that I always took my frustration out with them, because, it's, you know, you're always frustrated. And I kind of said to myself, well, when it's time to hang up my boots, I think I should make a referee, the league stronger for referees. And I said, look, I'm going to show them how to do it. I'm going to go out there and see can just strengthen the league of referees. And that was kind of what I was thinking. So I just quickly, when I hung up my boots and then we started refereeing, it just took off. I really loved it. I didn't think I would. You know, because sometimes you'd say, oh, I'd never be a referee. But do you know what? Don't knock it till you try it, because it's a total different pathway. Total different pathway, total different career. And now to be still involved at this age in football and in the game, and that's what I love, to be still involved.
Can I just say, like, you're a fantastic ambassador, like, for women's sport, for refereeing. Like, I've seen you and I've heard you speak on numerous occasions. Your work ethic was always second to none. That was something that was always. And I suppose, like, I'm so delighted for you that you have achieved that, and that you're on the world stage, the European stage. And I suppose I'm going to take it back a little bit, as in, you're a past graduate of WIT. You might maybe tell us what you studied here, maybe.
Yeah, so it all started here, yeah, WIT. So I graduated with a degree with Sport and Recreation and Leisure Management. And that was a brilliant choice, because it kept me, it taught me so much. And then I was became personal training, and then it added to my own training. And then I had so much knowledge, background knowledge, then to put that into effect, and all my experiences through work experience, through playing soccer here, and then going and working and playing at home. And now it's like I'm self-employed. So I fell back onto my degree 3 years ago when I needed to become self-employed. Oh, I have a WIT degree there. So education for me was so important in my journey and in my role as a referee now, which people wouldn't even realize.
Super. And you mentioned, I probably cut you slack maybe 20 years ago since you were here, but it's 20 years ago since you won an InterVarsities here in WIT, 1999, is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. I was in first year in college, and it was so hard to get on the team, but I managed to get on the team in first year, and I was so excited to play. And then we went on to win it here in Waterford. I was at the RSC at the time. We didn't have these spectacular facilities right here in the WIT arena. They're amazing, fair play to you all. But yeah, back in 99, I was in first year. I graduated in 2004 with my degree, so.
Fantastic. And college sport, would you recommend it, would be the question I'd ask.
Oh, totally. I mean, for even just for mental health, I mean, just pick up a ball, pick up any size ball, just go running, athletics, any kind of sport that you can get involved in. I think it's so important to balance your education with physical activity, because it just totally gives you a break from your books. It gives you a sense of being part of a team, or even if it's an individual sport, you still have to train with others. And it just gets you switched off from the books onto something totally different. And it just gives, it's amazing for mental health. And I always say it, no matter what activity it is, it's just something different than what you're studying.
So Michelle, loads of experience, loads of fantastic information. I'm going to try a little curveball. It's just popped into my head here now, okay?
No problem at all.
What advice would you give to your younger self? Looking back now, I've seen this will go out to people who are in college students now. What advice would you give to a younger you now, after all this experience and where you are now?
Yeah, a younger me. to really pay attention to more injury prevention and to more like knowledge of recovery. So it's all good and saying, yeah, go out, train hard. But do you know, you really have to take care of yourself in active recovery. If you get injuries, make sure you get the professional advice. And also, I would have liked to surround myself with more positive people years before I did. And I think that's when I started becoming more successful, when I really did zone in on who was good around me, build my team around me of positive people who wants to be part of my journey and I be part of their journey. And then everybody then succeeds. So that's what I would say.
Super, thank you. Sorry, that was a real left field one. It's a real exciting time to be involved in women's football now, as in the World Cup over the summer. Obviously, you know all about it. The Women's National League here in Ireland. As in, any thoughts, or are you looking forward to the future, or what next for Michelle?
Oh, I'm super excited for all the women that are involved in sport at the moment, because the World Cup was huge, absolutely huge, and the development from that, from 4 years before, it's only going to get bigger. It's only going to get bigger, and I want to be part of it. So I'm already wanting to put my name down on the campaign list for, I want to be picked for the next World Cup. I want the next Euros in 21 in England. And I want to be part of it all, because the game is so technical and there's so much more opportunities, especially here at home with the Women's National League, with your college, with any clubs. It's so more developed and it's so more out there for people. And there's more opportunities for everybody in all ages. And both, even if you're not a player, you can be involved as a coach, as a manager, as a kit manager, whatever, just to be involved. It's only going to get better. It's going to get big.
Fantastic. Michelle, I suppose what's really striking for me, just listening to you tonight, you decided on something that you wanted to do. You applied yourself and you worked so, so hard to get there. So I'm really, really thrilled for you. I really mean that. And I just want to wish you continued success. And thank you very much for coming down and sharing your story here with us again in WIT. It's always fabulous to have you back, and you're welcome anytime.
Thank you so, so much for having me. Thank you.
So that was Lizzie Dare speaking to Michelle in WIT Arena. Michelle was absolutely brilliant. She was one thing that was really noticeable was she gave up time for everyone that was there last night, just getting in for photos, a quick chat. There was no problem at all, and everyone got to see her medals as well, Super Cup medals, National Cup, World Cup medals. You know, they were all on show, and it was excellent to see that as well. And she's a real role model for female athletes and aspiring sports stars or referees in Ireland. So again, we're just going to move on to our final guest for this episode, who was Paul Dunton. And Paul is the chairman of the WSCEI committee, which I was saying earlier is the Women's Soccer Colleges Association of Ireland committee. And Paul does remarkable work to ensure that this competition is a success every year. Paul has been a huge advocate for women's soccer for the last number of years and has helped bring the competition forward each year. So I caught up with Paul after the launch, and we spoke about the competition itself and how the competition has grown from strength to strength. Paul, first of all, just to start off, I just want to get an idea, just in your role as chairman and the committee itself, what has it been like building up to the launch and up to the InterVarsity competition?
It's been an enjoyable process, helped by the likes of Tommy Griffin, who's been absolutely exceptional. We touched base with Tommy early in the summer, so as soon as the 2019 InterVarsity's finished, we were already making plans for the 2020 InterVarsity's that we had airline for be down here in Waterford. Mm-hmm. Robert Oldham, who the treasurer of the WSCI, and Mark Scanlon and Dylan McGuire and myself travelled down here to meet with the WIT committee and Tommy Griffin, just outline what will be needed from our side in terms of the preparation for the competition, what we require from WIT, as we require from all hosts the stand, there's a, we say a certain standard, a certain level that we need to reach. We have to give huge credit to WIT, to have been absolutely fantastic, very forthcoming, very transparent. In that meeting, and we just had a hugely successful launch down here tonight, with the huge guest of honour, Michelle O'Neill. Michelle being an assistant referee over the World Cup, and being an assistant referee at the Super Cup, it just gives a lot more profile, and gives you an immense credit to Waterford IT for being able to attract the likes of Michelle to come down here tonight.
Yeah, and it's it is great, and we're delighted to be hosting as well. And I suppose with the year that's in it, with the whole 2020 campaign around women in sport, it's going to be a remarkable competition. And just for yourself, you've been involved with ladies soccer for years, and you were in with UCC, you said, for 8 or 9 years around that, and now you're involved in the overall running of the competition. What changes have you seen over the years?
I started with UCC in 2010, got to the final as manager in 2012 and 2013, won the tournament in IT Sligo. The preparation from the colleges, the host, the players themselves, the standard has been absolutely incredible. The level of professionalism from everyone involved, we see teams travelling down, we see the night before the tournament, making sure that their preparation is absolutely key. They have access to everything like swimming pools, laundries, physios, etc., etc. But overall, I do have to highlight the welcome addition of, we see the having the final on in the stadium. So this year's tournament, the final will be on in the RSC. It gives that extra
the profile
and professionalism that you're in a stadium environment. You're coming out, the other colleges that have taken part in the tournament and supporters are now down here watching the games. It has been live streamed over the last couple of years, which has been an incredible success. Our sponsors, Rutzlers, have been an incredible part of that. And on top of that, we have an incredible support from Mark Scanlon, the national coordinator, and his assistant Dylan McGuire, who've been absolutely instrumental. We meet on a monthly basis in Abbotstown, just to go through the runnings of the league in preparation for tournaments like the WSCA and the varsities. And we stepped things up when we came down here to WT towards the end of October, and met with yourself, Tom, and Lizzie Kent, and Tommy Griffin, just to go through what was needed. Very progressive meeting, absolutely fantastic facilities down here, which can only add to the tournament itself.
Yeah, definitely. And even we hosted the tournament in 2015, and to see the changes since then, you know, have it was just the bones of a building then and the outdoor facilities, but now it's a whole new dimension to it as well. So that's going to add to the competition, and I suppose it's going to give the girls a great opportunity to be in a professional environment too. And
On that note, during my time as UCC manager, we were in the 2015 final as well, versus UCD, which was actually held here on site at the WIT arena. But now, 4 years later, you're looking at bringing it to the RSC, raising the profile. Waterford United have been absolutely incredible, giving us that support, and again raising the profile for the players. But for us, it always will be ultimately about the players, giving them the best possible opportunity to play football, first and foremost, but in a professional setting. And that's what we aim to achieve down here with yourselves in WIT, and with us as an organisation to try to support that.
Yeah, and what's remarkable is, you know, in the lead up to the inter-varsities, these days they're real high pressure, and everything, like what I find with competitions is when they start, they run themselves, but it's just getting that start in place and making sure that everything is right. Do you find that a high pressure environment, or are you just used to it now, or how do you find that?
This is my third season involved with the WCA. We were given incredible support, as I said, by Mark and Dylan last year. This tournament was above in Ulster University. What we have with our committee members and with the help of the college themselves is we'll have additional volunteers on the ground that will help us, we say, match getting referees, cards, getting scorers, times of scorers, that will all be fed back to Dylan Maguire. We'll then feed it to the social media just to make give everybody that feeling of being at the competition, and keeping it monitoring how come the players are doing, past players, wishing us the colleges luck, they say high profile players like Michelle, as we just heard, speaking just recently, winning the tournament in 1999 herself. Just again, it just adds to the profile. It is an incredible match between football and education. It is an intense couple of days. We can't hide from that, but at the same time, once we're organised on our side, we'll do the best we can to make sure that everything's in place, to make sure that the players themselves and the teams that do come to the WSAI universities enjoy the full support of WIT and the WSAI.
Yeah, definitely. And even as Michelle said during the launch there, it was a massive thing for her winning it back then, and now she's here 20 years later and able to look back at that as one of the best times she had, and now look at her on the international stage, so there is a pathway through to that. And this is the season finale for the women's soccer, so that's a big thing as well. This is the closing of it for the year. It's great to have that as the last competition, the women's intervarsities.
Absolutely, Tom. And what you will find is the closing of a chapter for some players. You'll have players that will be in their final year at college, coming down here to playing in the competition for the very last time. For as long as I've been involved in third level women's football, the memories of the WSAI intervarsities were something that I'll hold forever. I can only imagine what it feels like to be a player.
Yeah.
Coming down here, winning a tournament, being involved in that team environment, ultra-professional environment. But it's going from strength to strength.
Yeah.
The standard player that are playing third level women's football has been absolutely incredible. We've witnessed that. And it gives them better quality games. And even the build-up, the qualifying rounds, the all roads lead to Waterford. And again, it's something that the third level female players and the colleges look to aim for, taking part in the WSA intervarsities. For me, I've always married it to the Champions League. So to me, it's like the Champions League third level women's football. It gives that tournament feeling that I've always enjoyed. But again, for us, as a tournament, it's always been about the players and making sure everything's set up for the players.
Yeah, we're really looking forward to it. It's going to be a great 2 days here in March on the 24th and 25th, but we're really looking forward to it, and we're looking forward to working with yourselves as well, and hopefully we have a really successful tournament. And best of luck to you going forward, and we'll be talking to you before now and then anyway, I'm sure.
Thanks Tom, very much appreciated. I really appreciate the interview. Just before the interview, I would like to thank in particular the members of the WSAI committee, namely Áine O'Donovan, the secretary, Robert Oldham, the treasurer. We have committee members there. Your own, very own Lizzie Kent is a committee member. You have Emer Flatley from NUIG, Craig Robinson from CIT, Kevin O'Brien from the CIT. I'm sure that's it. Once again, thanks a million.
No bother, and thanks for that as well. Thank you very much.
Cheers, thank you.
That was just me there speaking to Paul, who's doing great work for women's soccer in Ireland, and it's great to see his passion for the game and constantly trying to improve the competition for females around Ireland and in third level colleges. So just on that note, I would just like to say a massive thanks to everyone that attended the launch, and it was great catching up with our guests after the event. I'm really looking forward to the competition myself in March and the build up to it. It's always a great occasion. I was there in 2015, so I just want to see how far this competition has come, and showcase it in WIT Arena as well. So there will be footage of the launch available in the coming days on FAI Third Level Football Facebook page. And you can also catch up with all our sporting events and information on our WIT Viking Sport Facebook, Instagram and Twitter pages. And that's a wrap for episode 17. I've been Tom, and this podcast is brought to you by WIT Novus. Thanks for listening. Hello, I'm Tom Grinsell, and you are very welcome back to our 17th episode of the podcast. On today's podcast,